Hi, this is Rob Silverstone, and you're listening to The Rob Silverstone Show. Today's episode is Saving for a Rainy Day. First, what is a rainy day? That's a day when things get bad and you need extra money, and you want to tap your savings to spend that money. Maybe you lost your job, maybe you had an unforeseen expense, but you want to have money in the bank or at your brokerage firm to cover such emergencies. So, we can't predict when we'll need the money, we just know that at some point in our lives we will need the money. How much should we save? Ideally, you'd want to cover at least 6 months of living expenses, and you'd want to have money in case there's an unexpected medical bill or home repair. You want this money to be readily accessible, meaning it should be at your bank or your brokerage firm and easily convertible into cash. If you were to lose your job, how would you actually pay your bills? This is where the rainy day fund can most come in handy. Of course, you could also borrow money, possibly, perhaps from family and friends. That's a short-term fix, so you need to act fast, and you have to be realistic, and while you're borrowing money from friends or family, you should be working hard to get a new job, to show them that you're not going to come around and ask them for more money later on. Note that borrowing from family and friends can cause strains in relationships, and it can cause reduced expectations. So, always get the terms in writing so that there are no disagreements later, and be mindful of the relationship before you ask for the money. If you have the ability to go to a bank to borrow money because you have either a line of credit or a home equity loan, that's fine also, but keep in mind if you've temporarily lost a job, the bank may not be so inclined to lend you money. So, in terms of constructing a rainy day fund, let's look at a few key elements. First, how much money do you make? What's your salary? Do you have some kind of bonus, quarterly or annual? Do you have any side gigs from which you make money? And do you have any money from investments, either interest or dividends? Look also at how much money you normally spend. How much do you spend on mortgage or rent? How much do you spend on property taxes if you own your property? Are you a member of a homeowners association, or do you live in a condominium apartment where you might have monthly or quarterly condo charges? Are you paying off other loans, such as student loans or car loans? Maybe you have a personal loan. And do you have credit card debt? Of course, if you do have credit card debt, it's probably at a very high rate of interest, perhaps above 20%. That's the kind of debt you may want to consider paying off sooner than later, just so you don't have to pay so much in interest. Look at your utilities costs. You could have gas or oil and electric charges, perhaps water charges or phone charges, internet connectivity charges. You may have streaming services and cable TV. My wife and I decided a number of years ago to cut the cable and go with a streaming service instead. The streaming service we chose surprisingly raised rates by about 40% within the year after we started subscribing. We weren't too happy about that, so we dropped that streaming service and went out and found a couple other streaming services to replace it. But these are the kinds of things you have to pay attention to. You'd be shocked at how much those costs can add up. Consider cooking at home more frequently and going to restaurants or ordering in less frequently. That could save you some money. You could bring your lunch to work, or your breakfast for that matter. You could make your own coffee and use environmentally friendly reusable coffee mugs. That'll save you both time, money, and resources. Consider how much you spend on clothing, how much you spend on regular medical care, perhaps subscriptions or prescriptions. Does insurance cover most of your medical care? Do you have any deductibles or out-of-pocket expenses? Do you spend money beyond those in the course of a year? Are you able to have a flexible spending account or a healthcare savings account through your company? And if so, are you using that money? Make sure with flexible care spending or FSA that you use it by the appropriate deadline or else you may lose the money. With a healthcare spending account, you tend to be able to roll it over from year to year and even take it with you if you leave the company. But check the rules of your plan first just to make sure that those are the same. When you're taking vacations or traveling or eating out, how much do you spend in the course of a week, a month, a year? Try to quantify that. Do you have any hobbies that cost money? Or do you collect anything? In terms of charitable giving, do you give money to various causes? Perhaps you're a member of a house of worship. See what those costs are on an annual basis. I track all of those expenses, by the way, with a software program. I happen to use Quicken, but there are several programs that perform similarly. So I can actually create my own summaries of what I've spent to see what I have spent on charity or what I have spent on vacation expenses, etc. It's a great way of getting a sense of what I would need in case my income were interrupted. So how much do you have in liquid assets, which would normally be a bank or an investment account? And how much do you have in relatively less liquid or non-liquid assets? You know, what's the value of your home after the mortgage? What's the value of your car? Do you have jewelry or artwork or other collectibles? Do you have a 401k plan or an IRA or other retirement plans? And do you have a 529 plan to pay tuition either on behalf of yourself or your kids? Do you have any upcoming large expenses such as school tuition, a balloon payment on a loan, perhaps a home renovation? Are there any anticipated medical expenses that might not be covered by insurance? Are you planning a wedding or other big family party? These are all things to factor in to figure out what your outflows are and coupled with what your inflows are. Also, what are your plans for the future? Are you saving for retirement? Because if you're not, you should be. Are you saving to buy something of substance, such as a home or jewelry or a car? These are all important to our well-being. Do you have a plan for how you're going to save money? In other words, are you setting aside money out of every paycheck or having money that you put aside every month toward these goals? You may have short-term goals, such as paying ordinary living expenses, and for that you'd want to set specific savings goals to make sure you can cover the rent or the mortgage along with everything else. To help with your expenses, try to buy in bulk or compare prices for items you use regularly, such as laundry detergent. Many people go to big box stores like a Costco or a Walmart or a Target because they may be less expensive than the corner grocery store for some similar items. Try to adopt smart money habits in all that you do. Be aware of how you're spending money and what you're spending it on. And decide, is this really something I need to do or just something I want to do? In terms of intermediate goals, see if, as I said, if you can pay off your credit card debt. Manage your payments on your auto loans and personal loans to try to pay those down as well. Avoid using credit cards if it's money that you don't have, because you have to pay the credit card company back with interest. It might be safer in some cases to stick with a debit card, and that'll keep you from overspending since you can only use a debit card to spend the money you already have. When you're saving for upcoming big expenses, that could be either an intermediate term goal or a long-term goal. Speaking of long-term goals, I did mention before retirement. You're never too young to start saving for retirement. And in fact, the more years the money you set aside for retirement gets to earn interest or dividends or capital gains, the more it's going to compound. So by the time you get to retire, hopefully you have a nice pot of money able to fund your retirement. You may want to also consider paying off your mortgage early, either by saving a lump sum to pay it down, or perhaps paying an extra payment every year, which if you start that early in your mortgage, it might actually trim 5 or 7 years off the duration of a 30-year mortgage, which can save you a huge amount of interest over that time. If you lose your job, how long do you think it will take to find another job, and what can you do in the meantime? In other words, determine how much money you will burn through before you have incoming money again. Let's say you expect it to take you 6 months or 9 months or 12 months to find another job. Do you have enough money to cover those expenses in the meantime, or do you have to cut back on your expenses just to be sure? Many ways to cut expenses, by the way. You could limit your travel and entertainment expenses. You could freeze or cancel a gym membership. You could look at your recurring monthly bills to evaluate how much you really need, as I said, versus how much you have to pay for. Look at your telephone bill. Seek out companies who have deals that may be better than your current deals, especially deals for new clients. Also, your current company, telephone, cable, etc., may sweeten the deal to keep you if you call up and say you're thinking about canceling because you found something cheaper. Figure out what's really essential to spend money on versus what it would be nice to spend money on. Look at your subscriptions. Many people underestimate how much they're paying because their subscriptions are broken out either quarterly or monthly, maybe for a news service or an actual newspaper or magazine. Maybe you're subscribing to a genealogical website and you don't use it. You could probably reduce or cancel that one. If it's something you use often and you find a value, keep it going, of course. Be careful not to overextend on gifts for others, you know, birthday or holiday gifts. You don't need to impress other people with your gifts. Sometimes the best and most creative gifts are the ones that are homemade or truly heartfelt and don't cost a lot. You don't want to get into credit card debt just to buy other people gifts. Consider cooking more at home. It's a great way to save money. It's a fun and rewarding hobby, by the way, because you get to eat what you make. And you can even use the leftovers for breakfast or to bring to work for lunch. Consider joining a local public library, as you may be able to get books and other forms of entertainment, such as audiobooks, for free, either in person or online or both. And in some cases, some libraries are members of Canopy. That's K-A-N-O-P-Y. It's an online entertainment service that is also free as long as your library is a member. And you can get all kinds of great old movies that way, which might be a nice way of spending a weekend afternoon. Always think about how to spend money in an economic way so you don't waste money. If you go out with friends, for example, consider only bringing cash so you don't spend more than you budgeted for that evening. You could consider deferring or delaying your upcoming big spends if possible. Let's say you're planning a round-the-world trip and you lose your job. Maybe you'll take that trip in another year, so don't tear up your plans, but just consider taking a more economical local vacation in the meantime. It is important to have downtime, of course, and I encourage people to take whatever vacation time they are allotted. I was laid off, for example, in 2012, and fortunately, I had some money saved to cover upcoming expenses. It took me almost a year to find a full-time freelance job, and then I found a full-time job with benefits just after that. But the fact that I had a rainy day fund was a real lifesaver. That's one of the reasons I encourage people to maintain a rainy day fund. No matter what, keep paying your mortgage or your monthly rent. You don't want to fall behind on those because you don't want to lose the place you live. If you're having financial difficulties, let your bank know if you have a mortgage and tell the bank your circumstances have changed. Many banks will work with you and will be understanding about your payment timing within reason. They'll also put a note in your file, so if you're having problems, they'll be more sensitive as to how they try to work with you to go about solving those problems. If you have a child in school and you're paying for it, don't hesitate to ask for financial aid. Your circumstances have changed, so the school will certainly listen to what you have to say. Whether it can afford to help you or not is another question, of course, but you don't get unless you ask. Final word, it is the human relationships in life that matter the most. You should always live within your means, and you should always save for a rainy day because there will always be rainy days. But yes, there will be plenty of sunny days as well. Well, thank you for listening. If you have any feedback, we'd love to hear it. Please send it to rob@therobsilverstoneshow.com. And stay tuned for another episode. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. The views contained are my own and do not represent any company that I work with. Thanks again and have a great week.